This Morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Decision Day has arrived. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, November 8th. Glad you're on board. Here's what we have for you this hour.
It's Election Day. By this time tomorrow, we could be calling Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump our president-elect. Meanwhile, control of the Senate is at stake as well.
Legalized pot, guns, minimum wage, and paid leave benefits are some of the issues that voters will decide at the state level.
On a lighter note, what if it rains today? Find out which party, according to researchers, gets more of the vote when there's inclement weather.
And parents taking their kids to the polling places.
Parents have always taken their kids with them to vote if they must. I mean, if they don't have any babysitters. But they've also found that in doing so, it helps them learn certain things about citizenship and values. And this year, especially with so much animosity, you know, parents are saying this is the good time that they can take their kids.
Wall Street Journal reporter Claire Ansberry on the benefits of taking your kids to vote. She's here later in the hour. Well, after roughly 17 months of campaigning, here we are on Election Day 2016. Yesterday, Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump visited battleground states in a final effort to maximize turnout from their supporters. Mrs. Clinton made four stops, including one in Raleigh, North Carolina, with rocker Bon Jovi.
Between now and the time the poll closes tomorrow, we are going to be living on a prayer.
Mr. Trump visited five states on that final day of campaigning.
We don't need John Bon Jovi. We don't need Lady Gaga.
I think he also referenced at one point yesterday Beyonce. There was no let up in the personal attacks either. Mrs. Clinton called Mr. Trump temperamentally and experientially unqualified. Mr. Trump said Mrs. Clinton is, quote, being protected by a totally rigged system. Mrs. Clinton can afford to lose several of the battleground states and still become the nation's 45th president, while Mr. Trump must win almost all of them to prevail. A victory for Mrs. Clinton in Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, or Pennsylvania would effectively block any path for Mr. Trump. While much of today's focus will be on the presidential results, Democrats could recapture the Senate majority they lost 2 years ago. A handful of tight races in battleground states will decide things. Republicans remain competitive despite having to defend many more seats than Democrats and contend with a polarizing GOP presidential nominee. But nonpartisan political analysts predicted the Democrats would likely eke out a slender victory, with some of the closest races ultimately being determined maybe tomorrow morning or even later. Reince Priebus is chair of the Republican National Committee.
If you look at where we're at in these Senate races, Donald Trump is strong in each of these states. The senators are strong in each of these states. And I think you're going to see a majority in the United States Senate again when this is over.
The Wall Street Journal says neither party is expected to win the 60 votes that most bills need, but the makeup will dramatically help shape the dynamic between Congress and the White House, potentially providing Hillary Clinton, should she win, a legislative ally to counter the House, which is likely to remain in GOP control. Let's get a little scene setter now on this election day from Karen Brueggemann, staff writer at National Journal. She's with us live this morning, based in Washington. Morning, Karen. Could this be over early tonight?
Hi. Yeah, it does seem possible. You know, last week there was a little bit of buzz of, you know, what if Tuesday's actually pretty simple and straightforward? I think in 2012, the AP called the whole race by about 11:30 or 11:40, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised if tonight was relatively similar. Some of the first results could start coming in around 8, usually from the Northeast, and then it's just going to roll straight across the country. given that there's been such a big surge in early voting, and even states like Nevada seem almost out of reach for Trump at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if tonight's results are pretty straightforward. I think Florida is always the one to watch, as it has been for the past couple of races, because it's such a big state, it just takes so long to count those votes. So if Florida is as tight as it usually is, then that could be one state that we're waiting on.
All right, so what about this perhaps running deep into the night or tomorrow, or heaven forbid, later to decide the White House?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a possibility. You know, if it does come down to Florida and Florida takes days to count and days to certify the election results, that's definitely a possibility. I don't think that's likely, given that Trump's path to the 270 votes that he needs to win is so precarious. Clinton just has a much easier path to get to that number. She is looking like she's ahead in Pennsylvania, Colorado, Virginia, New Hampshire. I know you mentioned earlier that Pennsylvania is one of those states that if she can hold it, she should be on track to win tonight if she can nail down a lot of the other blue states that have been in her corner, which is why she had that big rally last night with President Obama and Michelle Obama in Philadelphia, of all places.
Yeah. I did hear somebody say one time, I guess part of this election campaign, maybe it was 2 years ago, it does seem like Democrats, the way things are set up now, are positioned to kind of control the White House, while it's Republicans who are better positioned to win Congress or control Congress.
Yeah, it does look like the Senate is a little bit up for grabs, but those races are pretty tight. But when it comes to House seats, you know, a lot of this comes down to demographics.
Yeah.
Democrats do well in urban areas, among young voters, among young women voters, minority voters, as we've all heard so often and dissected over the course of this election. But a lot of those urban centers, you know, they only make up so many congressional districts. So when you break down the House map, it tends to favor Republicans. Some people blame this on gerrymandering within certain states.
Mm-hmm.
But just that, you know, that demographic breakdown, it favors Democrats at the presidential level because they can win more contests statewide and build up the vote count. But with Republicans, the map does still favor them at the House level. Though we'll see what happens with the Senate today. It sounds like some of those, there's still a good shot that Democrats could win back the chamber, if narrowly.
Well, we're speaking live this morning with Karen Brueggemann, staff writer at National Journal. She's based in Washington. What about voter enthusiasm? What are you hearing on that front?
You know, the early vote numbers seem to cut against this narrative that voters, you know, these are two of the most unpopular presidential candidates of all time. There's been this sense that no one's excited about either of them. People are only voting to vote against their favorite candidate's opponent. But if the early vote numbers, if there is a surge in Latino voting, even young voters and women, if they show up in higher numbers than expected, then, you know, I think it does get overlooked that there are some voters who are excited to cast ballots for what could be the country's first female president. But I do also think the anxiety over Donald Trump could really be causing a lot of voters to show up and cast ballots and to have people be more diligent about voting than maybe people assumed. But we'll see. Obama was obviously a transformational figure. People don't expect African-American turnout to be as high as it was in 2008 and 2012. So we'll see what groups turn out in the same numbers that they have in the past versus not. But I think one thing to keep in mind is that even if turnout isn't at the record levels that it really was in 2008, mm-hmm. and then it came down a little bit in 2012, the country's demographic change, even with just natural population growth and things like that, favors Democrats. So we'll see if Hillary Clinton can outperform or if she underperforms Obama relative to 4 years ago.
Is it that Mrs. Clinton is an uninspiring figure to the African-American community?
You know, it could be possible that some don't see her as a particularly inspiring figure. I think it's more cut against President Obama, who, for obvious reasons, was an incredibly inspiring figure to members of the African-American community. Hillary Clinton may just not carry the same resonance. I do think Clinton is inspiring to some and many voters, maybe even African-American women in particular, who tend to favor Democrats and come out and support Democratic candidates in the highest numbers of any demographic group. So, you know, among African-American men, turnout might be a little lower. Mm-hmm. But again, I think it probably depends on the individual voter. But I think overall, the significance of her election is just a little bit different than it was for Obama.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for a few minutes, Karen. Good talking to you again. Karen Brueggemann, staff writer at National Journal, based in Washington. 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When you're opening a new office location, but deadlines don't let up, you need to make sure your team can start working fast, which means all of a sudden, you're looking to buy new conference tables, chairs, laptops, and whiteboards quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
If you're familiar with cloud computing, you probably know that Amazon Web Services offers a complete set of secure compute, storage, application, and deployment services that help companies launch and scale their IT infrastructures while lowering costs. But did you know that you're still responsible for protecting your own AWS-based assets, meaning your applications and data, from advanced cyber threats? Protect your AWS with Barracuda Networks Advanced Firewall Solutions. Visit AWS Marketplace or barracuda.com/AWS to learn more.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this election day. A number of states are expected to pass ballot measures today that will reshape everything from drug regulation to how much companies pay workers across the country. Here's this morning's Dave Duncan.
The Wall Street Journal says voters will decide 162 ballot measures, with 71 of them proposed by citizens. Washington, Maine, Colorado, and Arizona voters will decide a minimum wage issue, while paid sick leave is also on the ballot in Washington and Arizona. A record 9 states are considering expanding legalized access to marijuana. Maine and Nevada are considering extending background check requirements beyond transactions at licensed gun dealers. Gordon.
Thank you, Dave. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Donald Trump has always described his campaign as a zero-sum game, and he did it again yesterday as went at one of his 5 rallies, saying if he doesn't win, he'll consider it the single greatest waste of time, energy, and money. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, Trump called on supporters to vote against Democrats.
They've betrayed the working class of this country. Tomorrow, the American working class will strike back. It's about time.
Hillary Clinton, meanwhile, made a stop before tens of thousands in Philadelphia, appearing with Barack and Michelle Obama, Bruce Springsteen, and Jon Bon Jovi. She then made her way to Raleigh, North Carolina.
Years from today, when your kids and grandkids ask what you did in 2016, when everything was on the line, you'll be able to say, you voted for a stronger, fairer, better America.
Both candidates will spend election night not only in the same city, but barely more than a mile apart in Midtown Manhattan. That's creating unprecedented security headaches for New York City. Carlos Gomez of the NYPD says law enforcement will be out today in full force.
Well, over 5,000 uniform officers will be assigned to election duty, various types of election duty. Throughout the day as well as the evening to ensure all New York is safe, secure, and that the process is orderly.
Tonight, Clinton will be at the Javits Convention Center. Trump will be at a Hilton a mere 15 blocks away. Investigators have discovered a third body on the property of a South Carolina man who is now linked to 7 deaths and the kidnapping of a woman who was found chained inside a storage container. Todd Kohlhepp is charged with kidnapping the woman, and more criminal counts are expected. He's acting as his own attorney. Wrigley Field's days as the friendly chalkboard are coming to an end. The Chicago Cubs says they need to remove chalk messages and artwork left by fans on the ballpark's exterior walls due to off-season construction. Fans have until 5 p.m. today. After that, final photographs will be taken and displayed at a later date. The 102-year-old ballpark and surrounding sidewalks are jammed with celebratory messages and the names of loved ones who didn't live to see this year's World Series victory.
Oh, how about that? Didn't realize that. Good stuff. Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Check out Dell's new XPS 13 laptop featuring incredible battery life and performance that's 4 times faster. Learn more at dell.com/radio. We're not just picking a new president this fall. Some of us are also picking new health insurance plans now that it's open enrollment season, whether we work for a large or small business, even if we're startup founders and entrepreneurs. Janelle Marte at the Washington Post says whether you're getting help or figuring it out on your own, you'll increase your chances of landing in the right plan if you ask yourself some main questions. Janelle, what do we have?
The bottom line is that it's that time of year when we're needing to sort through options and try to predict maybe how sick we'll be next year so that we can land in the right insurance plan. And it's a little overwhelming at times. Kind of everyone just wants to close their eyes, stay with the same plan if they can. And sadly, that won't be an option for a lot of people, especially for the exchanges we're seeing bigger price increases. And even if you're getting insurance through your work, there's always something that is changed typically from one year to the next. So you want to take a look and make sure that you're landing in the right plan. Mm. Now, the good news is that if you focus on a few key things, you really can increase your chances of picking the good plan, the right plan for you.
Okay, because it's hard sometimes when you're kind of deep in the forest and all you see is trees. So how do you figure this out then? How do you simplify it?
So one of the more difficult questions is going to be, you know, how often do you get sick? Sometimes you think you don't need much care, and of course you have a bad accident or you do get sick or something else comes up. So it's impossible to get this right. But generally speaking, there are some things you can prepare for. Let's say you're planning to have a child next year in your family, or if, for instance, you know you have a chronic illness that requires certain medications or certain treatments. So for the people who do know for sure the things that they're going to face next year, you want to have that in mind and choose a plan that is going to be either comprehensive enough so that you're sort of, maybe you're paying a bigger premium, paying more each month, but it'll help you avoid big price shocks. Or if you are fairly certain that, you know, unless you have a big accident, you won't be needing much care next year, then you might want to factor that in and choose a plan where you'll have a lower monthly premium. You're paying less, and then if you do need care, you pay more out of pocket and you could face a big bill. But again, if you don't need much care, you end up saving in the long run.
We're speaking with Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at The Washington Post, about her story entitled Five Questions to Ask Before Choosing a Health Plan, since open enrollment season is upon us. All right, so what else to consider here?
So to a point, the decision of choosing either a plan with a low premium and a high deductible versus one where you're paying more each month but getting more of your bills covered, it can come down to how much money you have in the bank.
Thanks, Janelle. Janelle Marte at The Washington Post. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office are never convenient, so why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Here's how Stamps.com works. Using your own computer and printer, buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package. Then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. It's that easy. No wonder over 600,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com and enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
These people are the worst.
Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday, November 8th, Election Day. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Election Day 2016, Clinton and Trump battle to the wire. New York Times says the nation's election healing could begin with speeches we hear tonight. Legalized marijuana on the ballot in 9 states. Texas Rangers and San Diego Chargers are asking voters today to help build new stadiums. Seahawks beat the Bills in Monday Night Football. Major stock indices all up more than 2% yesterday. And the effect that rain will have on the election. That story in about 20 minutes. If you'll be parked in front of the TV tonight, or perhaps you're watching at one of the local movie theaters showing election results, early returns from several East Coast states will offer a peek as to how the rest of the night might unfold for the presidential contest. Here's Wall Street Journal political reporter Michelle Hackman. Michelle, what should we know?
At this point, all we really have is early voting data, which is pretty incomplete. But what we do know from the early voting data is that we're seeing record Hispanic turnout, especially in, you know, key counties in Florida, in Nevada, where it could really make a difference. And if that continues, you know, people are saying Hispanics could win the election for Democrats.
Right. That's been known, I guess, for some time, right, what their enthusiasm level is. What would Mr. Trump's folks say about that, since they're probably leaning Democratic?
Sure. I mean, what they would say is that we can only really see the demographic turnout of people who come to vote early in their party registration. And so they would say, you know, we have no idea how many of these Hispanics are coming out and voting for Mr. Trump versus, you know, versus Hillary versus a third party candidate. And that's true.
All right. So break some of this down. Like you said, it's 7 o'clock. Here's why we ought to watch Virginia and Georgia and the clues from there.
Once actual results start coming in, we stop speculating on these early results. The demographic patterns in some of these states will have, you know, will contain clues that we can all use to extrapolate to guess what we'll see in future states. So, you know, Virginia is sort of this highly educated state, increasingly diverse, has a large African-American population, has a growing Asian and Hispanic population. And so that state, according to most polls, should swing Mrs. Clinton's way. If it does not, then, you know, I'm sure people in the Hillary victory party will feel very concerned, and that'll show you, you know, that the night might be a rout for Donald Trump.
Got it. All right. What else?
So conversely, you know, right at 7 o'clock, none of those states are particularly tight, but Georgia is another example of a state, you know, pretty red, hasn't voted for a Republican and a Democrat in several decades. Mm-hmm. But the growing, you know, African-American population there has really put it in play. And so if that looks like it's not quite swinging into Donald Trump's column right away, that might raise hopes that Hillary Clinton could sweep the map.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman. Her piece is called Early Results in Key States to Hint at Election Outcome. All right, so what else on Tuesday night? What are some of the other ones to watch?
Yeah, so the really important ones you're going to want to look out for actually are a little later in the night, 8 o'clock, still East Coast states, New Hampshire and Florida. Those are really, really key. New Hampshire, in the past two elections, has voted for Barack Obama. You know, it's a very white state, so you don't really have the diverse coalitions of voters there that are pulling this off for Democrats. But the population is pretty well educated, and it leans Democratic, if very slightly. Now, the question is, who's going to turn out more? These college-educated white voters who are leaning Mrs. Clinton's way, or working-class voters who are very enthusiastic about Donald Trump? And right now, it looks like a real toss-up. We just don't know. And those are, you know, the coalitions of voters that both candidates are going to need to win states like Ohio and Pennsylvania later in the night.
Yeah. What do we know about, say, early voting results in general? Is that any indication of voter enthusiasm?
It's hard to say, again. I mean, I think that the most obvious clues are in the huge uptick in Hispanic turnout. The other thing, you know, people are so busy celebrating that. Conversely, African-American turnout seems like it's declined quite a bit since 2008 and 2012, which is really concerning for Democrats.
Right.
So we're just not sure.
Thanks, Michelle. Wall Street Journal reporter Michelle Hackman. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. That's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
Not available in all states.
Whoa, what do you have there?
It's a Reason Irvy's frozen yogurt. We just had our robot make one.
A robot made your frozen yogurt?
Yes, the world's first fully interactive robot vending machine that serves 9 flavors of delicious yogurt with 6 amazing toppings. And it's available for an exclusive franchise opportunity.
How do I get my own Reason Irvy's robots?
It's easy, but you better act now. Locations and machines are going fast. Just go to FroYoFranchising.com and enter promo code 2626. That's froyofranchising.com, promo code 2626.
Hey, glad you're with us. Good election day to you. Kids are home from school. Will you take them with you to the voting booth? Wall Street Journal reporter Claire Ansberry explores whether you can instill good values and habits by having your kids watch you pull the lever or push the button. Claire, what have you found?
Parents have always taken their kids with them to vote if they must, I mean, if they don't have any babysitters. But they've also found that in doing so, it helps them learn certain things about citizenship and values. And this year, especially with so much animosity, you know, parents are saying this is the good time that they can take their kids to vote and teach them some values about respect and responsibility and not back away from it and throw their arms up in the air.
Yeah. All right, so what about, let's say, you know, a heated argument unfolds while you're standing in line waiting to check in?
Right, sure. And some parents may want to come up with a plan B or an exit strategy. You know, and you could also explain to a kid, look, you know, everybody has disagreements and, you know, there's ways to express them. But if it really gets ugly, you know, you could take your child out and come back without your child and just kind of explain that, boy, we really wanted to be able to do this. But, you know, the important thing is that we're going to vote. And then you could also talk to your child after you vote about the incident and why you voted the way you did. And, you know, when the election results come in, you know, that's another opportunity to talk with your child about voting and the importance of it and the reasons you selected somebody. You know, I think the important thing is, you know, to do so politely and civilly and not get caught up in the rhetoric that, you know, has sort of characterized this season.
Yeah. Are there rules in place at polling places or districts or states for kids coming?
Yeah, and it's good for parents to check their local polling stations. I mean, most states allow minors in the polling booth with them, but they don't have the same definition in minor. In a lot of states, it's under 18. In some states, it's 15. Some states allow one child in the booth with you. Some states allow two.
Oh, okay.
You know, if your child's disruptive, I think you might be asked to leave. So you really should check those things out. And if your child has a hard time in crowds, you know, you may want to see and try to check when it's going to be least crowded and go really early in the morning or later, and just pick a good time when your child's going to be best suited for it. I mean, it is kind of an adult setting, and people there are, you know, serious about it. And, you know, you want this to be a learning experience for your kids.
All right. We're speaking with Claire Ansberry. She writes the Turning Points column for the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Why Parents Are Taking Children to Vote This Year. Did you get the sense when you were pulling this together that parents more than ever are taking their kids now for one reason or another?
You know, I'm not sure it's on the increase. I do think that there is a sense of that this is sort of a historic election with a, you know, female presidential candidate. And, you know, that might be something that moms want to take their daughters to, you know, just sort of talking about leadership among men and women. There might be more discussion that way. You know, you might also have some parents who say, you know what, it's been so ugly so far, I don't want to bring my child there in case things do get ugly. So I don't really get a sense that it's more or less. I think it really depends upon the individual parents and their situation.
Thanks, Claire. Wall Street Journal reporter Claire Ansberry. 14 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, on his final night of campaigning, Donald Trump got in some final digs. Campaigning in New Hampshire, Trump referred to Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren again as Pocahontas, a reference to claims she made about being part Native American. Trump also held a late night event in Michigan where he referenced another WikiLeaks release.
Donna Brazile took those questions and gave them to Crooked Hillary, right? And Crooked Hillary didn't do anything. She took the question. And I'll tell you what, if I were Bernie Sanders, I wouldn't be too happy.
Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton got support from the top names in the party and rocker Bruce Springsteen. At a concert rally in Philadelphia, Clinton was joined by her husband, daughter, and Michelle and Barack Obama. Later, Clinton headed to Raleigh.
We don't have to accept a dark and divisive vision for America. Tomorrow you can vote for a hopeful, inclusive, big-hearted America.
Meanwhile, a record number of people voted ahead of Election Day, driven by soaring turnout from Latino voters. At least 43.2 million people cast ballots by early voting. Record levels have been reported in 23 states and the District of Columbia. Several states are expected to pass ballot measures that will reshape everything from drug regulation to how much companies pay workers. Voters will decide 162 ballot measures, 71 of them proposed by citizens. A record 9 states are considering expanding legalized access to marijuana. In other news, Iraqi investigators are looking into a mass grave that was discovered by troops advancing further into ISIS-held territory near the city of Mosul. Footage from the site shows bones and decomposed bodies among scraps of clothing dug out of the ground by a bulldozer.
Down the right side, ISO on Galloway. Crossover dribble to the right hand. Spins into a double team. Clark, touch pass Curry. Fakes. Fly by. Three ball. Got another one. He's got 10 threes. And the Warriors lead by 6.
Not 10, but 13. Tim Roy on 95.7 The Game as Steph Curry of the Warriors broke the record for three-pointers in a game. Just one game after missing all of his three-point tries for the first time in 2 years. Curry finished with 46 points as the Warriors beat the winless Pelicans 116-106.
What do they say about shooters, right? Best way to get out of a slump.
Just keep shooting.
Keep shooting it. 0-for-10 in the last game.
Yeah.
And he gets 13 and breaks a record this game.
He's good.
Insane. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When your business is construction and you get a big job that has to be done in record time, you need to get the ball rolling, which means all of a sudden you're looking to buy enough sheetrock and lumber, steel, and other materials quickly. Business cards from American Express Open can give you buying power to help cover the big purchases you need to make when you need to make them. Find out how American Express cards and services can help prepare you for growth at open.com.
Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at dell.com/radio.
Thanks for being with us. For battleground states where Donald Trump finds himself trailing in the polls, it might make sense to do a little rain dance. Researchers found that for every inch of rain above the average for the day, the Republican presidential candidate received roughly an extra 2.5% of the vote. The study appeared in the Journal of Politics back in 2007, but USA Today says researchers feel its findings remain valid today, even with the large number of people taking advantage of early voting. While most of the country will see rather tranquil weather today, heavy rain is forecasted in places like Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, Oklahoma. A cold front could also bring a few showers to the upper Midwest. AccuWeather predicted there's also a chance for late-day showers along the coast of Washington and Oregon. Meanwhile, one researcher says several studies in the past 5 years in other countries, such as Spain, Germany, and the Netherlands, found a similar effect of precipitation helping right-leaning candidates. Only one country, Sweden, did not find a similar weather effect on elections. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.